Well, we've been on a journey called Stronger. If you're a guest, you saw these signs that said Stronger in the lobby. And it's been a journey where we've said we don't want to be just strong. We want to be stronger. We want to be the very best we can be. Why settle for bronze when you could have gold? Be the best you can be. And it's been a journey of our lives. Better parents, stronger parenting, stronger marriage, stronger everything, stronger church. And the journey has already yielded so much fruit, but I am convinced God's not through with us yet. I'm going to go ahead and confide that something happened in the 9 o'clock. It was so powerful. My time was done, and I just walked right up and I had to speak to it. And I'm thankful for a production team that knows how to pivot. But when it was time to give, and you see these lit up towers, these are where we give. We're going to walk forward in a few minutes with our gifts. And some of us gave online, but you're going to write it on the envelope and say, here's my gift. And we're going to all move together. And I was stunned. It was a miracle. Just the room was moving all over. So much participation, there had to be guests moving as well. There's no way that didn't happen. People that had flown in to be here were moving. People that have a story were moving. You had people hugging. And I just want to just tell you, please, 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 11 o'clock, don't miss the moment that God is giving you. And the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And as we give God our treasure, we're giving him our heart. And so that's going to come, and I'm so grateful for what he did at 9, but we're a whole church. And it just makes me excited for what he would do in this service. I don't know. I feel a little competitive. Is anybody here say, I don't want to get beat by the 9 o'clock? Can I hear you? Come on now, 11. Let me hear from you. I'm not going to get beat by the 9 o'clock. We're going to all cross the line together, and I am believing God will do great things. When I was praying about what to preach today, honestly, I'm not going to lie, I was hitting a wall. It was like a brick wall. You know, you have the entire Bible to choose from. That's a lot. And I would just go to the Lord with, I could do this. And he'd be like, eh. And then I'd go to the Lord with this. And I'd say, I could do this. And just wasn't feeling it. And then late in the week, truthfully, I was behind. And I was feeling the pressure. Late in the week, it was like the clouds parted and God just laid it out for me. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 is a place in Scripture that has held the story of my life, truly. I read from Ephesians chapter 3 the day I got married. I stood there in front of family and friends. I read Ephesians chapter 3 right before Susan came down the aisle. It's a treasured place in Scripture for me, Ephesians chapter 3. But in the last several years, there's a place in the book of Ephesians that has come to have special meaning for me, and it has to do with us. It has to do with you. It has to do with us. And it's Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 8. And I'd love for us to read this together. Ephesians 3:8, you can follow along if you have a Bible. You can look it up on your phone, or you can follow along on the screen. Ephesians 3:8, the Bible says, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for the ages in God who created all things. Now, starting right here, this is the Apostle Paul preaching, and he is not preaching from ideal circumstances. He's in prison as he writes this letter, and he's in prison because he was preaching the good news about Jesus. Before I go any further, coming off of Veterans Day, I think it is a worthy point to make that I myself am so grateful for the freedom of religion in this country. So grateful for our freedom. Freedom of religion has led to greater expansion of the good news of Jesus Christ than has ever been seen on the planet Earth before now. So he's writing from difficulty brought about by following Jesus, verse 10. So that through the church, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This is a powerful place in Scripture, and I feel like it's like the Apostle Paul is gathering together the team, and he's giving us kind of a locker room alignment speech. A locker room speech. I've been inspired for years by this locker room kind of speech, this moment with Vince Lombardi. Y'all know who Vince Lombardi is. I'm going to hold this football. Here we go. See, they laughed at 9 o'clock as well. Is it that unnatural for me to hold a football? You're like, oh, he's going to do something funny. No, man, I'm going to, anyway. So Vince Lombardi, 1960, it was the championship game against the Philadelphia Eagles. And in the fourth quarter, Green Bay Packers were winning. Lombardi is the great coach of the Packers in the 60s, and they were winning in the fourth quarter, but the Eagles bounced back and they overtook the Packers and they lost. And it did not settle well with Lombardi. It did not settle well with the Packers. And these are professionals. These are winners. These are people at the very top of the food chain of athleticism. And they came back that next year, you know, having just barely missed out on the ultimate goal. They came back to training camp 1961. And still stinging from the loss, I'm sure their thoughts were, okay, let's add a new wrinkle on the defense. Let's do something new. We're the one of the greatest teams that's ever existed. Let's up our game. Let's get more complicated. Let's add some new plays. Let's add a new offensive philosophy. And so they gathered around the genius, Lombardi, changed the game, this great coach. By the way, did y'all know that the Cowboys and the Packers are playing today? Did y'all know that? Yeah. Go Cowboys, baby. We have our Landry, they have their Lombardi. They gathered the team together, 38 players at that time, 38 players gathered together, and he held up a football, and he held it just like this, and it's well documented. If you're a student of leadership, you probably heard this. He held up the football and he said, gentlemen, this is a football. That's what he did. To the greatest football athletes on the planet, he said something that you would think they'd go, duh. Gentlemen, this is a football. And what was he saying to the team that got so close? Sometimes to go to the next level, you don't add something. Sometimes to go to the next level, you need to remind yourself of the fundamentals, of the main thing. Before you go on to the next thing, you got to back up and remind yourself of the main thing. Is there anybody here that would want this football? I'm not going to preach with it the whole time. Come on, who wants the football? You got to come up here. Wait, come here, Tex. I want y'all to see what just happened. Oh, dude. Come here. I didn't see you. Come here. Okay. These two dudes were like offensive line duking it out. And he got up and stuck up behind me. He's Micah Parsons coming up behind me on my blind side. So I just want to know, do I give it to one of the brothers? Sorry, guys. Here you go, brother. You bet. There it is. Well done. He ran right up here. I love that. I mean, you don't do it, please, but you'll get tackled by our security team. But anyway, that is a football. And I believe that Ephesians 3:10, the Apostle Paul is saying, that is the church. That is the church. That's the church. That's the church. What did he say? He said, and to bring to light everyone that is the plan of the mystery hidden for the ages in God who created all things so that through that church, the manifold wisdom of God may now be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That church. Yeah, there it is. that church. The title of today's message is, We Are That Church. We are that church. In the 90s, 1992 to be exact, there was a song that came out and everybody began to sing it. Everybody began to dance to it. It became so popular and they're still playing it today. They're not playing it in the clubs as much like they were in the 90s. Now they're playing it on commercials. And it's that song that goes, whoop, there it is. Whoop, there it is. Turn to your neighbor and say, whoop, there it is. See, you can't say it without smiling. I love it. You know, now it's like if you save some money on your insurance, they're dancing in the kitchen. Whoop, there it is. Well, I believe what the Apostle Paul is saying to us is, there it is. That's what I'm talking about. That right there is what we need to be dancing for. That right there is what we need to be working for. That right there is what we need to be sacrificing for. And I want to unlock Ephesians 3, 8, 9, and 10 for us so that we could say, we are that. We are that. Yes, God, we're doing that. And it's worthy of celebration. It's worthy of sacrifice. We're that church. That's the kind of church that we are. If you're going to be that kind of church, you got to know that church, whoop, that church shines a very bright light. Shines a very bright light. Very bright light. The other night I was with my brother-in-law who lives on family land, and there's a little coyote problem. And so we were in the backyard and I had a light, and it was so many lumens. I got it at Ace Hardware. I was proud of my light. Okay, I was proud. Team Ace Hardware must have showed up today, but I was proud of my light, and I thought it was, you know, doing pretty good, and I was shining my light, and I was looking for little eyes looking back at me. And then my brother-in-law, David, he pulled out his light. I got my light at Ace Hardware. He got his light at a gun show. Whose do you think was brighter? The almost illegal one or mine? His is like lightsaber light. It's like intense. I mean, it keeps on going. I mean, he shines it up and planes are averting it, you know. And the first thing you got to know, what does it say here? It says in verse 9, to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden. That God, in moments like this, for a church like us, you always ask God, is there a brighter light that we could shine? Would you trust us with a bigger light? Would you trust us with a brighter light? God, would you let us shine the light? Because what? When the Apostle Paul is telling us that I'm bringing light, there is the assumption that we all know there is darkness. You don't need a light unless, what? There's darkness. The light has no purpose only in the light. The light has purpose. You shine light to penetrate darkness. The cool thing about light, it always wins. Light always wins. You don't see a force beaming into the light, conquering the light. Anytime you shine a light, it penetrates the darkness with the lumens that it has. And the only thing limiting the light is the power of the light. The only thing limiting the penetration of darkness is the lumens powering the light. Think about that. And here the Apostle Paul is saying, we need more light. The church is a light. Elsewhere, Jesus said it this way, hey, you're a city on a hill, let your light shine. Have you ever seen a city far off that was on a hill and you could see it forever? It's gorgeous. Can you imagine in those days with no electrical power? That was a powerful image for them, a city on a hill. They didn't see that very often. It was like something that came from nowhere. They didn't have street posts. So when you saw a city on a hill and it was lit, it was unlike anything you would have seen in those days. Jesus borrowed this image, and he also doubled down on it and said, if you have a light, you don't cover it with a basket. You let your light shine before men that they may know. My friends, there is darkness. There is darkness. Are you aware of the darkness that is around us? Are you aware of the darkness that is in our culture? The Apostle Paul was speaking to darkness. He was speaking to the night. He saw the night in the way that they treated their children. The way that they approached children was children were disposable. If you didn't get the gender that you wanted, they would just toss the child. Sexuality was objectified in a way that even our culture has not mastered at the level that the Romans have mastered. Their depravity was mastered at a level that it rose even to the highest of the courts of the land, the depravity, the abuse. The abuse was enshrined. Paul looked around and he saw God's way and he saw man's way and he knew man's way was darkness and he saw God's way as light. What he's saying is the church has got to be a light that shines into the darkness. That means your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let the light of heaven shine onto the darkness of the earth. Let the kingdom of God take a step. Let the kingdom of God penetrate the night and let us penetrate the night. Let us penetrate the night, God. I believe God wants to do something here at Keystone Church that we would shine bright, because if we don't shine our light, we will be swallowed by the darkness. When you turn off your light, there's no hope. You'll be swallowed by the darkness. There's been no business, there's been no entity, no organization that has brought more light to the world than the local church. There's nothing like the church. This past, it was yesterday, on Saturday, I was made aware that this orphanage that we have participated with and helped, and we fed over 1 million meals to these orphans in Haiti. And we've seen orphans graduate out of it and new ones come in, and we just keep on and keep on since 2010, since the earthquake. And we've had different challenges at different moments. And one of the things that came to us yesterday was this. It was that a couple of kids had caught cholera, right? And it was threatening the entire orphanage that it would spread. And so our organization's boots on the ground, they were pivoting and they reached out and they said, help! I'm like, wow. And we asked the question, what is it gonna take? And they responded. And I thought to myself, you know, tomorrow I'm gonna be standing in front of the church and we're gonna be giving like we've never given before. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Yes, we'll participate. We're going to help. She said, dear Brandon, first and foremost, thank you and thanks to everyone at Keystone Church for working alongside us at this most critical juncture for the children at my father's house. That's the orphanage. As you read in my earlier email, the situation is very serious. However, I am optimistic that we will be able to contain the spread within the orphanage in large part thanks to your generosity. The two children with cholera are ages 4 and 5 years respectively, and their little bodies have no way to fight the disease without appropriate treatment, which they are both receiving as I write this email. Our hope and prayer is to identify and hire a competent nurse within the next 1 to 2 weeks who will be at the orphanage full-time for the next couple of months. Our team has been at the orphanage all day installing hand-washing stations, working with the staff and the children, reinforcing the need for good hygiene, especially hand-washing, and distributing hygiene supplies. Thanks to all of you, we have been able to execute this rapid response and are putting in place a longer-term effort to respond to any future cases and, more importantly, to prevent ongoing transmission within the orphanages. That's stronger. We're adding that in right now, right? We're adding that in right now. We're taking care of that as a part of this journey. And disease is darkness. Disease is darkness. There's no place. When she needed help, when that organization needed help, who did she call to? Our church, other churches for the different orphanages. The church. When I go to Haiti and I look around, It's all Christian organizations everywhere. Who started hospitals? The church. Whose idea was it that we could educate our kids? The church. Who was on the front lines of ending slavery? The church. And who right now is fighting for the unborn? The church. If there is no church, our culture completely, our communities, our families, our friends, we get swallowed by darkness because God is the light of the world. And we've decided we're gonna be a light. We're that church. We're that church. We're shining a light. We're shining a light. We are that church. We've decided. We've decided. We've decided that we're gonna be that kind of church. We're building this building. It's a larger platform so that we can do more good. We've said that for 2 years. We're building a larger platform so that we could do more good. We could not contain the people that are in this room, in the room, in the furniture store. We built a larger platform so that we could do more good. You know what that means is? That means when God gives you an opportunity to take your awesome Ace Hardware light, which is great, and upgrade to the light, you know what you do? You do it. And God is calling us to shine our light brighter. You know why? Because we shined our light well here. God says, I can trust you with more. I can trust you with more. That church shines bright. That church holds steady to its purpose. Number two, that church holds steady to its purpose. You can see this in verse 10. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known. That's our purpose. Our purpose is to bring God to the world. Our purpose is to bring the kingdom to the world. Our purpose is to show people this is looking a little more like heaven every day. That's our purpose. In the book of Matthew 28, the Bible says, you won't see this on your screen, so just listen. I'm throwing this in right now on the fly. In Matthew 28, the Bible says, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's our purpose. If you've been through Keystone Unlocked, you know that's our mission. This is our purpose. We're shining a bright light. But often church, people, Christians, we can get off mission. What's the enemy to our purpose? Comfort. Comfort. Whenever you're on mission, you're constantly called to be uncomfortable. You're constantly called to be challenged. So what's the enemy to that ever-present calling to be uncomfortable, to keep on challenging yourself, to do things that are new to you, that are previously undone? There's no muscle memory for this. The enemy to that kind of life, the radical life, is comfort. And the default for your life is comfort. You're not wired to be uncomfortable. We're wired to be comfortable. We seek the path of least resistance. Very few of us would voluntarily choose a path of more resistance, but we know to follow the Lord sometimes, often, takes us into a path that is resistance when you see this other way that's not resistance. There's a student right now that's walking with the Lord in their school, and they're finding it very difficult, and it'd be so much easier to just do what everybody else is doing. It'd be so much easier to just believe what the world says about sex and just do what your friends are doing about sex and just do all that and not buy what God says. But there's a student in a school right now that reads their Bible, comes to Keystone on Wednesday nights. They're learning what it means to do sex God's way, and they're standing before the Lord making hard choices. They're uncomfortable for the cross of Christ. I think we should celebrate a kid that would make choices like that. Somebody... In just a moment, you're going to stand to your feet and you're going to make your way to one of these lit towers where you're going to put your gift, your sacrificial gift, in the box right here. And that gift, you know, is uncomfortable. You're not just doing what's easy. You're not just doing what you can afford. You've done something that rattles you. You've done something that shakes you. You've done something where you had to really pray about it. And you even had to pray, God, give me the courage to do this. Those dollars had other names on them. We've had stories of people that are in an economic downturn and they're selling things so that they can participate today. That's uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. Even in my family, I'll be very, very transparent. We had a two-year goal that we prayed about, and God gave us a number, and we had a two-year goal. We said, over 2 years, this is what we're going to give. And guess what? We've already done it. I've already hit it. In our family, we crushed it. I thank the Lord for that, because it was a big deal. 2 years ago, we were like, okay, I'm leaning in, God, and we've crushed it. And you know what God says? I'm not done with you yet. And he says, I know that you're about to have a wedding, and I still want you today to give. Anybody with me? Uncomfortable, uncomfortable. Another enemy to be in that church on purpose is consumer. Consumer. You know what consumerism in the church is? Consumerism in the church is this. It's we eat, 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 and then we nap and nap and nap and nap and nap to then get up and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat to then, oh, I'm so tired. Nap and nap and nap and nap to get up and eat and eat and eat and eat. And what you don't understand is you're not eating to nap. You're feeding to work. You're feeding for energy. You're feeding to build muscle. You're feeding so you have capacity. Here's what it looks like. We eat the bread of life. We give the bread of life. You eat. We cook. You consume, and we create. Are you with me? We call this going with the flow. We receive the blessings of God, and then do I just take them and hold them? And then more blessings come at me, and I take them, and I hold them. And more blessings come with me, and I take them, and I hold them. And if this is a river, you've become a dam. All of the blessings of God are coming at you. I've got friends. I've got marriage. I found a church. My kids are loving Wednesday nights. My kids are in preschool. They love the playscape. I'm blessed, man. I've got a good job. I got a good bonus. I'm blessed, man. And you're standing here, and there's nothing flowing behind you, and you have dammed. You've created a dam for what God wants to be a river. That blessing hits you, and then you say, okay, God, how can I be a blessing to someone else? How can I let this blessing that has hit me flow into the lives of others? God's given me time, I give my time. God's given me resources, I give my resources. God's been good to me, how can I be good to somebody? Consumerism. You could read your Bible every day and memorize the entire book of Revelation. I don't know why you'd want to do that, but that's apocalyptic literature. It's tough stuff, right? I mean, the point is, you could memorize the entire book of Revelation and be out of the will of God. As opposed to, I'm studying the book of Revelation, and I'm sitting here, and I'm going, okay, God, why did you share this with me? And you feel, you come away from the book of Revelation with an urgency because the clock is ticking. I read Revelation and I know his kingdom is coming and it's gonna get tough. So the clock is ticking. So I need to do something right now in my season. See, that's going with the flow. Consumerism is the enemy to your purpose. And then finally, criticism. Criticism. The American church, we consume so much, we become church critics. There's entire industries and blogospheres of church criticism. It's like we view churches like we're these, like, you know, we got like our, I'm looking at Keystone and I'm, you know, I just am sensing some oaky hints of, I think the rain fell that spring and there was a frost. Let me see. Yeah, there was a frost. Yes, I believe that it was 75 degrees that summer. It's a little fruit forward, but you know there's a long finish. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm doing? But we treat church that way. We're like, you know, well, I mean, you know, the worship was great, but, you know, this and that. And, you know, well, this other church is like this, and this other church is like that. And, well, Keystone, the way they do it there. And then we begin to, it's like we're grading restaurants. And I believe that God wants us to be so on mission, so on purpose, that we honestly don't have time to think about what the other church is doing, because God has given us this mission and God has given us this purpose, that when we're on the battlefield of life, if I see another battalion that is waving the flag of a name of a different church, I will fist bump them. I will high five them. Thank you for doing what you do. There's enough darkness for both of us. Let's high five them. They're different than us. They do things different than us. They may believe a few things different than us, but I've got my own thing to do than to sit here and waste my time criticizing all them when God says, let's take our time to reach all of them. Yeah. Our purpose is to shine the light. Our purpose is to let people know the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming, and that means there's an empty nester right now. There's an empty nester right now, and here in this house, you're gonna find out you have a second chance. You're going to find a new flow for your life. And I'm speaking this over you, empty nester. These years will be the best years of your life. They will be the best years of your life. And you'll double down on the mission of God, and you'll be filled with such purpose that when you go back to your kids and they come to you, they'll say, man, what is going on with you guys? Your marriage has never been better. Y'all are happy. Is it because we left? You'll say, partly. No, you'll fill in the blanks. You'll say, you know what? We just leaned into God, and God is doing something, and I'd encourage you, don't wait until this age to do it. How about that, huh? I believe that there's going to be a student who finds out that God's way is better. They're going to walk through the hallways of their school, and they're going to know they're not alone. You're not alone. You are not alone. I believe that there's going to be a young family. I mean, just starting to have kids, little bitty kids. When I see a young family starting to have kids, do you know what I see? I see potential. I see the potential that the concrete is wet and that we have a voice into their lives that says, hey, you don't have to mess them up the way you were messed up. And we can help you with that. We call this changing family trees, church. That your family tree could be changed forever. Whenever you see preschoolers in there, you see wet concrete. A great grand opportunity to change things for them. Here's what I know. I said this last week. I believe we have a great purpose here at Keystone, that if you're here, you are giving us your time. You're giving us an hour and a half of your day. It may not seem like much, but time is valuable. And you're giving us your time. And if you're giving us your time in a service like this, we want this moment to count. We want you to encounter God. We want to throw life change at you left and right. We want you to walk out of here blessed by God and encounter with Him. But if you're committed to the family of faith here, you're giving us not just a day a week, you're giving us years. And we are consumed by the thought that one day you'll be in heaven with God and you'll look over how you spent your time, how you spent your money, how you spent all of the assets of your life, and you'll look at the time you spent at Keystone. You'll say, I am so glad I went to that church that didn't waste my time. Because to waste your time is to waste your life. We're committed to not wasting your life. This is a place where we're going to make it count. That's a church on purpose. And then finally, that church, whoop, there it is, that church moves heaven and earth. What does it say? So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This church moves heaven and earth. This is a stunning thought that yes, when we commit to purpose and we shine our light big and we give like we're about to give and we serve like we serve and we invite like we invite, it moves earth. Like, we're ready to see schools change for Christ. I'm ready to see empty nesters find their second life. I'm ready for a student to feel like the presence of God in their life. I'm ready for a young family to raise their family under the kingdom of God. We're ready for this, right, church? We're here to move earth. We want to move cities. We want to move culture. We want people to look at this area and say, man, boy, I tell you what, they're just doing culture differently here. Their city operates differently here. Their laws are different here. Why? Because the kingdom of God is on the march. But we're not only moving earth, we're also moving heaven. That's what we just read. We literally read that. Read it again. It said, to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. It means today, when we give in that tower, when we give, heavenly beings are watching. There's two camps watching today. Two camps. Team Jesus, who wins? That's great. I hope you're on Team Jesus. He wins. Team Jesus is watching today. The angels and all the heavenly hosts are watching today. But there's another supernatural being, another team that's watching. And that's our enemy, Team Satan. And right now, Team Jesus, what the Bible here is saying is, when you invite people to church, when you tell them about Jesus, when you give like you're about to give, when you write it out in that envelope and you put it in there and you give with your heart and the tears coming down your cheek and you're hugging your spouse, when that kind of thing happens, Team Jesus is saying, see, that church, that's the church being our kind of church. That's our kind of church. Playing offense the way we want to play, playing defense the way we want to play. That's our church. There it is. What you don't want is the other team saying, that's our kind of church. Quiet, afraid of their voice, afraid to be bold. A church playing it safe, a church never asking for sacrifice, a church that doesn't dare to dream big, a church that would never challenge everybody to come forward and do what we're asking you to do today. No, we want quiet, comfortable, consumeristic, critical, dead churches. Well, we've already made a decision. We're with Team Jesus. And what we're about to do is play for our King. We're gonna run the play the way he asked us to run the play in our season, at our time. I believe there's gonna come a moment where you look down on this moment, you're gonna replay your life, and you're gonna say, in moments like that, we scored. We scored. So to get a taste of it, I'd love to just, especially those of us that are brand new to Keystone, you've not been coming except for maybe since we moved in this building. I want you to get a taste of the whole journey. Check this out. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. We are in the business of building lives, building marriages, building families, careers, building leaders. So as you drive by and you see the foundation being poured, ask yourself, how's my foundation? As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. This is the single most defining moment in our church's history. This is the single most defining financial moment in our church's history, for sure. This is a big moment. They go from strength to strength. January 2020, I stood before the entire church and said, the word for this year is stronger. And none of us could see what was coming. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold our shield, O God. Look upon the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness.
It is a journey for our church to build ourselves not to a position of weakness and not even to a position of strength. We believe that God's destiny for your life and for this church is to be stronger.
For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you.
This journey is about us as a church, but us, there's no us without you. Have you made the decision that God is your treasure? Well, if so, when you sacrifice for him, it's a party. It's a journey for our church to be ready for this wonderful larger platform so we can do so much more good. God is building us up and preparing us in three ways. As we invite others, we're not going to count on the building, as we serve like crazy, and as we give. We want to be financially stronger, not just strong and certainly not weak. And so this journey is all about that.
I so appreciate about Brandon and Susan that he pulls us and he pushes because he sees the greater things. And so it is scary to give, but it is so worth it. And so ask God, pray and see what he would say, and then be obedient and do that and trust God for the results.
And the joy that you get from giving is amazing.
So what I love about Stronger is as we've given sacrificially, how God has just shown us and encouraged us through other people's stories.
Makes a place special. The type of special I'm talking about is made special by the presence of Almighty God. That's what makes a place special, special. When you experience Almighty God there, and I promise you this, before we invite one person into that building, before I step over the door into that building on that first weekend, the first person we will invite into that church will be Almighty King Jesus. I believe the crowds are coming. I believe hungry people are walking into those doors. I believe somebody starving in their soul will walk through the plaza and into the towers. When they come, will we wow them with our creativity and they leave impressed? Or will they come arrested in their emotions and their intellect and their minds are blown because the beauty was a staircase and the creativity and the wisdom was a staircase to engage Almighty God? That's our job. We take people to Jesus, and he has chosen us fit to do it in beauty and creativity. It's all about Jesus.